a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
If we could call this meeting to order, I see we've got some subcommittee maps returned to us, so if we would please take roll call.
Representative Bolin?
Here.
Representative Fargin?
Here.
Representative Gosch?
Here.
Representative Junkie?
Here.
Representative Kirkby?
Here.
Representative Lust?
Here.
Representative Wismer?
Here.
Senator Bradford?
Here.
Senator Brown?
Here.
Senator Cutler?
Here.
Senator Peters?
Here.
Senator Roden?
Here.
Senator Schleckway?
Here.
Senator Russell Olson?
Here.
Representative Rausch?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Do we have everybody had a chance to read the minutes? Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
Moved
by Senator Roden, second by Senator Brown. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. Any corrections or additions to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll proceed as the agenda has. Opening remarks today. Apologize for starting just a few minutes late, but subcommittees had some map changes and or additions, so we've been printing those off, so we've just been waiting for those so we can get them in our hands to look at as we go through their reports. The meeting today, hopes are that we can at least come up with a pretty much a gentleman's agreement on the conurbation boundaries so that we can start piecing together the rest of the state and avoiding the conurbation areas, see how our populations work out. The understanding, of course, would be that those boundaries are not set in stone, because depending on how the populations work out, we may need to tap into those. But for now, we will try to honor those as best we can as we start piecing the rest of the state together. Hopefully, at the end of this meeting today, we will have good direction on what we want to accomplish also with our subcommittees on our reservation visits. And where that will go. So, Senator Olson, you have any comments you'd like to share at this point?
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to thank all the subcommittee members for the work that they put into this. We had what I think was excellent subcommittee attendance and participation from the public, and wanted to also thank Bob O'Connell for lining things up and facilitating for us in Sioux Falls. It was an excellent facility, and it with the telecom and the video that was also provided, we certainly appreciate that for the record.
Thank you. With that, I guess we will start, and I think Rapid City was done first, so we'll do the Rapid City subcommittee report first. Chairman Lust, would you like to lead us through that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We met in Rapid City. We had a subcommittee meeting two, 3 weeks ago and took a public input, and we met again this morning and have arrived at a determination or a recommendation for this committee, and I believe everyone has a copy of it in front of you. And essentially what this is a, when we met the first time here in Pierre, there were three proposals, I believe, for a conurbation district for Rapid City. And this is a variation of A from that original group of maps, and we decided that we would keep portions of Meade County and the Blackhawk Somerset area with the Rapid City districts, and we removed the base precincts on the east side of the map, on the right hand side, as well as the district on the easternmost district in 33, which stretched out about halfway to New Underwood. So the real fundamental changes that this map represents are the base going to Meade County, the easternmost precinct of 33 going to District 30, and then picking up a little bit additional area in Meade County in the Somerset area. But we had good discussion. Many maps were reviewed, and we arrived at a consensus, a unanimous vote in support of what is in front of you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I just got a meeting with Dave Orban and Legislative Research Council, and he's still doing some slight modifications. I just found out because as they plug numbers in and out and took certain block areas out, it's a little bit unclear yet where that eastern boundary is on that map and what it does to our overall numbers. Currently, we're 2% over the target population amount, and I just wanted to bring it to the committee's attention that he's seeking to clarify or make certain what the exact numbers are given the blocks that are in or not in that section. That most eastern precinct was kind of checkerboarded, and by removing it, it was unclear whether it took all of those areas out or not. So he's still working on it right now as I speak, and he's also checking into whether dropping that fairly rural area in Meade County west of Blackhawk and Somerset would get us closer to the target population. Currently, that precinct with the data shows it just over 500 people. So there might be some new numbers coming out from LRC.
Thank you. Further comments? Do you know Representative Gosch was that going to come up shortly? He's working on it now, you said?
Yeah, he is working on it now, and he said he'd try to get something printed out and some exact figures as soon as he could.
Chairman Lust, is that something that the committee would be able to recommend, that those changes, if that's what he's indeed working on?
Yeah, I think you said it well, that these are not set in stone, so there'll be some flex. This is going to be probably the broad outline. There may be some tweaks here and there, but I don't think there was no concerns in the subcommittee about changing some of these boundaries slightly.
And then this is four districts within that. Is that correct? Any further comments? Representative Wismer.
Chair, historically, you said that the base goes to Meade County. Historically, is it flipped back and forth a lot over the years?
Well, when I say the base, it's that you can see the precinct that bulges up into Meade County. On this map, essentially the Meade County, Pennington County line is right in the middle. And so I don't know where that's been historically. Right now it is in 33, that precinct is. But given the numbers, it made more sense to move it north, essentially, keeping it in Meade County. And the parts of Meade County that do fall in the conurbation are pretty much in the in District 33 currently, and that's the Blackhawk Somerset area. But I don't know historically what has been done with the base.
Mr. Chairman. Representative Wismer, you still have the...
Yeah, thank you. I guess I'd just be kind of curious to know what the background is there on those issues.
Senator Roden.
I can't give you ancient history, but for the last 20 years, Ellsworth has been in the Rapid City area. And I believe even prior to that, it was. The Pennington County line, the majority of Ellsworth's is in Meade County. The county line, pretty much, if you're familiar with Ellsworth, the county line splits the runway about in half lengthwise.
Thank you. Further comments? Hearing none, would there be a motion to approve the report and the...
I would so move, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Moved by Representative Lust, second by Senator Roden. Any comments on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. That motion carries. We will work as this is their official recommendation. That brings us to Sioux Falls. Senator Cutler, would you like to give us a report on the subcommittee action for Sioux Falls?
I would, Mr. Chairman, and thank you very much. Good morning, fellow committee members. We just finished meeting in the last hour, although the Sioux Falls subcommittee did meet earlier in June, actually the end of June, and we took quite a bit of public testimony. We met from approximately 11:30 to 1:30 so that people who were only available during the day could come and speak with us. And then we met again that evening from 5:30 to 7:30, 8 o'clock. And we had a lot of testimony and a variety of topics and suggestions, but I think the committee came away with enough information to take the maps that were before us, which there were four that we considered this morning, and come to at least a consensus for ranking. And part of the reason we didn't want to necessarily just eliminate the other maps is because of the testimony about the metropolitan statistical area primarily. And Mike Cooper is here today, who has been very instrumental in providing the information that was very helpful to us in coming to our consensus. What I would like to do is just report out from the committee in terms of the ranking of the four maps, which I'll give you a minute to pull those together so that we're all on the same page as we discuss these. If you look in your binder, you should have a map that's labeled Sioux Falls Conurbation 9 Districts-B. You'll need that one. And then you should have a map that's labeled Sioux Falls Conurbation 11 Districts that has a lot of pink and blue on it. You should also have a map that's labeled Sioux Falls Conurbation 9 Districts-A. And then by way of handout to you this morning, you should have a map labeled Sioux Falls Conurbation 10 Districts. And if everybody has a copy of those, if you don't, could you raise your hand and staff will make sure that we get you a copy. And I'll just wait for a moment until you have those copies, Mr. Chairman.
Nobody has the 11 because they didn't have the 11.
The one in our binder?
Yeah. Yes.
Ruben.
Some folks don't have the binders with them or may have pulled it out in previous discussion. So we'll make sure that we get the map with the – I think the one we're still missing is the 11 districts, correct? Is that – Senator Brown needs one. Does anybody else need one? Okay. Maybe Senator – we'll have you look on with Senator Peters until they can bring you one. We went through and we ranked these and in the following order. The Sioux Falls Conurbation 9 District B map was ranked number 1. Number 2 was the 11 District. Number 3 was the 9 District marked A. And number 4 was the 10 District. And again, part of the reason we want to bring these rankings to you as a full committee and continue the discussion, particularly on map number 1, the one ranked number 1, 9B, and then secondly the 11 district, is because of the information about the metropolitan statistical area and the relevance that that has both politically and geographically for redistricting purposes. And Mr. Chairman, if I might, I would like to call Mr. Cooper up to give the full committee the same information that the subcommittee heard. While you may look at some of the communities that are outlying in the Sioux Falls area, in that area, You may see green space in between Sioux Falls and that community. And if you just looked at it on a map or you just drove down I-90, you may miss the significance of the political ties and the geographical ties and the infrastructure ties that those communities have. Part of the testimony that we had came not only from the Sioux Falls area people, but also from the surrounding communities that are a part of that metropolitan statistical area. And we heard from some of them their concerns about being included, that they want to be included in the conurbation area because of their designation in the metropolitan statistical area and what that means to them both politically, geographically, in terms of infrastructure and other things. So with that, Mr. Chairman, if you would allow it, I would ask Mr. Cooper to come up and briefly give the excellent testimony that he's given the subcommittee in the past so that we're all on the same page in understanding why this is significant and why it should be a consideration in our redistricting efforts.
Absolutely. Thank you. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I am Mike Cooper. I'm with the City of Sioux Falls. My role is the Director of Planning and Building Services for the City of Sioux Falls. And I'd like to just kind of briefly go over today with the committee an overview of our Sioux Falls MSA. A Metropolitan Statistical Area, or an MSA, is a geographical area that's defined by the U.S. Census Bureau. And part of the criteria is that it would contain a large population center, such as the City of Sioux Falls, and adjacent communities that have degrees of integration with that urban center. In our case, we have a four-county MSA consisting of Minnehaha, Lincoln, Turner, and McCook counties. And the primary criteria for those four counties is that at least 25% of the workers within those counties are employed within the Minnehaha County and Sioux Falls area. Between 2000 and 2010, the Sioux Falls MSA saw a number of changes. First of all, the two counties of Turner and McCook were added into the MSA. In 2000, the MSA consisted only of Lincoln and Minnehaha counties. We also saw a 22% increase in population between 2000 and 2010, as well as about a 12% increase in employment during that time period. Currently, the Sioux Falls MSA consists of about one-third of the entire state of South Dakota non-farm workers. The Sioux Falls MSA consists of about 28% of the state population. There are five major hospitals with approximately 1,200 beds within the MSA, and approximately 60% of the patients come from outside the Sioux Falls area. We have 16 different public school districts with approximately 30,000 students within the MSA area. About 20,000 of those students are within the Sioux Falls area and about 10,000 outside. One of the interesting issues that we deal with in the City of Sioux Falls is that our city limit boundaries do not coexist with school district boundaries. And so right now we have portions of six different school districts that encompass areas within our Sioux Falls city limits. And we work with those school districts on everything from location of elementary and middle schools to other coordination of services. There are 13 campuses of higher education within the Sioux Falls area with about 11,000 student enrollment. And about 25% of the people that work in Sioux Falls live outside the city limits. So that's an interesting overview in terms of our MSA. One of the interesting issues that we deal with is what does this large geographical area have in common? Because it includes not only the big urban area of Sioux Falls, but also the smaller incorporated cities as well as the rural population. For instance, in McCook County, you have Salem, Bridgewater, Spencer, Canastota, Turner County, Parker, Chancellor, Marion, Monroe. What do all these areas have in common? We spend a lot of time working within this multi-county area in everything from solid waste to juvenile justice, law enforcement. We have a number of multi-county arrangements, depending on the situation. We are working on multi-area utility systems. We spend a lot of time planning roads and highways and bridges. We have emergency management that encompasses multi-county areas. We have planning and zoning that includes a metropolitan area, including the 6-county Southeastern Council of Governments. So there's a lot of commonality that we have with that area in terms of both urban and rural population. And I think that's one of the reasons why we think the MSA is so important to consider as you're looking at this task that you have before you. Because the people that live outside of Sioux Falls, that work in Sioux Falls, that still use the services within this MSA area, how are they going to have their representation heard and peer? And so I think that's one of the challenges that you have is, what should that relationship be between the MSA, those county boundaries, and the legislative districts? Any questions that you have? Otherwise, thank you for letting me speak to you today.
I would have a question on the two counties that are most recent to the MSA is because they met the population workforce criteria? Is that why
that's
they
correct.
Were?
That's correct. Primarily the workforce criteria, that at least 25% of the workers in those two counties are employed in Minnehaha County. That's correct.
Any questions? Representative Gosh?
How does Del Rapids fit into that scheme?
Del Rapids is part of Minnehaha County, and so they are in the MSA. They've been in the MSA for quite some time.
Okay. Traditionally, I think they've really not been considered part of Sioux Falls' greater area as far as legislative districts go. What's the argument for including them now?
I would say, again, that general overview that although Del Rapids has a very vibrant community, they have a lot of their own local services that if you did a survey, I would expect that you would see a majority, a good share of those people that live in Del Rapids do commute and work in Sioux Falls. And again, Del Rapids is part of our other multi-county organizations that we deal with.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike, as I'm looking at the, you're referring back to the second, the 11th district, I'm assuming, with the McCook, Turner, Clay Union, and referring to that. And I'm looking and thinking of the landscape in the Sioux Falls metro area. I mean, you're going out in 11th district conurbation area and getting McCook and Turner. Why are you not going north, say, to Moody or some of those counties that seem like on the I-29 corridor that would be a socioeconomic line going into Sioux Falls, also a bedroom communities?
Well, two things I'll say. That first of all, this map does represent the current Southeastern Council of Governments, which is one of the planning districts that have been established for a number of years in the state of South Dakota. And those six counties do work together on a number of local, state, and federal programs. As you get farther to the north into Lake and Moody County, then I think the trend is more towards the Brookings area in terms of the draw of what they have more in common than they would within the Sioux Falls region. So, again, I think based on the census definition of an MSA and what the criteria are, that those two counties will probably not have as much in common with the Sioux Falls, the 6-county region, as the counties that are even Clay and Union counties.
Further questions? Hearing none, thank you very much, Mr.
Thank
Cooper.
You.
Senator Cutler, back to you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you can see from Mr. Cooper's testimony, and we heard from others as well, again, just to reiterate that it wasn't just the Sioux Falls people seeing themselves tied to communities like Lenox, T, Parker, but it was also members from those areas expressing their desire as part of the Metropolitan Statistical Area, which is a census designation, since we're using census designations in all of our work, that their political clout really should be part of the consideration should be this designation with the MSA. And I don't know that, you know, maybe I wasn't listening as closely when Mr. Cooper testified, but his previous testimony was that the MSA also allows for efforts combined in terms of roads, sewer, infrastructure needs. And I know that some of the boundaries that we use or some of the considerations that we have in redistricting are not only just a pure number, but also those considerations of where are people, how do they get their political clout? How is their voice to be heard in peer? What is their representation? How should it look? And so I think for some, the idea that Turner and McCook County, which you don't think of Sioux Falls when you think Turner, McCook County, the political, geographical, social realities of those areas is that they are tied to Sioux Falls. They wish to be tied to Sioux Falls. For the past decade, they have been working as part of the Sioux Falls Metropolitan Statistical Area, that this is not a new thing. Indeed, it's a political, it's a reality that's been expressed for the last decade and deserves some strong consideration in our redistricting efforts. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Fargin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I talk about the 9 District B and the 11 District Plan?
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A little bit about 11 District Plan. I did not put this high on my ranking order when we were discussing this subcommittee for a few reasons. One, I kind of think it doesn't really, it kind of defeats the purpose on a conurbation district, how we were talking about it in the larger committee before we did the subcommittees. And how we're doing it, we're bringing, McCook, Turner, some of these rural districts in the Sioux Falls area. And I do understand the MSA distinction from the Census Bureau. But also when you look at Salem, is 1,300 people. You know, it's the largest town in McCook County. You look at Turner County. Parker is the largest town. It has 1,000 people. They're still very small and their tendencies is agriculture, rural areas. And by grouping them in with Sioux Falls, and I do know in the infrastructure is a positive, but grouping them in Sioux Falls isn't really what their core beliefs are. Then with Mike Cooper, excellent testimony here and then also down Sioux Falls, but he also stated that by not having this as a conurbation district still won't change what the MSA is in this area or they're working together in those certain counties. So it's still not going to change what is going on there at the federal, state, and local levels. They're still going to work together. I just said it would be possibly easier if they were together as districts. Now to District 9, or 9 District B, I think with a majority of us put this as our number one because the testimony was very clear how the people in Lincoln County and Union County would like to see this area. And those are our two major, I guess, people who testified down in the Sioux Falls area. If you look, I know it's not a straight line like District 9 A is. It's kind of wavy there. They're talking about, if you look at the Lenox area in the bottom there, that Grant Township ties into Lenox, just like if you look at around the Harrisburg area, that Dayton Township ties in with Canton. And that's why those are distinct lines that way. So that's the explanation. And I know Representative Boland could possibly go in more detail since he's from that area to explain that. But then also, if you look at that, the numbers in the southern part of Lincoln County and then Union County, that would also, if you add those numbers up, create a possible district if the committee so chooses to make that a district later on, makes it easier for us in that southeastern corner, which is very difficult, like we all know, because of the borders with Nebraska and Iowa. So it actually helps us out in that area. So those are just some of my comments with the 9 District B and the 11 districts. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Jim Bullen.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, I'd just like to reiterate the explanation for 9B. You might say, well, how come we're having those little stair steps there? Again, it just comes down to Grant Township, which is directly south of Lenox, is clearly a part of the Lenox, what I like to call a community of interest. It's the school district. This is where people shop. This is where people go to church. This is a part of the Lenox community. Dayton Township, which is north of Canton, is clearly a part of the Canton community. It's almost entirely a part of the Canton School District. This is where people will come. Of course, Canton is the courthouse. The other thing I'd like to say as well about 9B is that it takes care of the little town of Worthing, which actually is almost 1,000 people now. And in the last 10 years, Worthing has been connected up to Sioux Falls. It really should be connected either to Lenox or to Canton. And under this plan, it's attached to Canton. But 9B reflects the what I like to call the nuances of the county, and it recognizes these communities of interest. Having said that, I do think there's still worth to the 6-county 11 district plan, but I'm a supporter of either one of those, and I think 9B has great merit. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, member of the committee. Well, I'd like to just make a few comments kind of from a general perspective. I appreciate the testimony and the information about the metropolitan statistical area, but the perspective that I've had, you know, understanding I have a great deal of windshield time in the Baylor to think things through, but the perspective of a conurbation district, I think Ruben may have created a monster. If you look at the purpose of a conurbation district and what they set out to do, I think that regardless of the discussion about the metropolitan area, I think it's a moot point. These districts would be drawn, and the influence of Sioux Falls would be recognized with or without a conurbation district. The ties that they have in Sioux Falls will be still represented by the same number of districts and will arguably be overrepresented because of the votes that are tied to those areas, again, with or without a conurbation district. Sioux Falls has a population of 150-some thousand. Doing the math on the appropriate size for a district, they qualify for roughly 6 legislative districts if you just use the city limits proper. From my perspective, I would have rather seen us with a number of conurbation districts that were closer to those 6. After all, Rapid City has a population of roughly 68,000, which qualifies them for 3 districts. They only got 4. Well, if you had Blackhawk and all the suburbs of Rapid City, they actually should have qualified for more than 4. Sioux Falls, on the other hand, qualifies for 6 population-wise. We give them 9 conurbation districts that takes in a huge area. Well, as far as a conurbation district, I see no justifiable reason to have that big of area. Understanding that nothing will change from the perspective of the testimony we heard in regard to the metropolitan area. They will still have that representation. They will still be districts based on population, again, with or without the conurbation. So what is the intention of the conurbation? Well, it's to help expedite the process, allow more input from the people that are in that within the city limits of Sioux Falls so that they can, using their own judgment and personal experience, knowing the geography of the area and the populations, set those lines within that defined area. But I think we've lost perspective when we start drawing maps, in my view, even 9. But to expand it, to propose to expand it beyond 9, I think is really getting past what any reasonable judgment, what
definition of a conurbation district, what it sets out to do, encompasses. Thank you.
Senator Peters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate Senator Roden's comments. But I come from a community that does have a little bit of green space between myself and Sioux Falls, and everything that we do, whether the town is advertising or working or planning for their water or planning for their school districts and where they're going to build their schools, all deals with what Sioux Falls is going to do. It is, in my view, it is very imperative that we have, we will look at an MSA area instead of just towns and separating towns. It's more of a big picture. How do the communities coexist with the Sioux Falls area? Sioux Falls, with Hartford, Humboldt, Crooks, all these are my areas now. Most likely will continue to be my areas, whichever plan you use. But it, in my opinion, when you look at water and you look at it, trying to get a legislative area with legislators and trying to coordinate water projects and legislation with taxes and things like that, these towns, not we all work with Sioux Falls. I guess it's, to me, I did vote for the 9B as my number one choice, but I could very easily go with the 11 district conurbation area for the Sioux Falls area, just for the simple reason that it does recognize the statistical area, the MSA, because McCook, I've done door-to-door in Salem, and those folks work in Sioux Falls. Those folks identify with Sioux Falls. They pay attention more to Sioux Falls news than they do to what's going on in the rural areas or even Mitchell. So I think it's imperative that we recognize where these people work, where they get their news, what newspaper they read, because that affects what kind of decisions they make. I guess I don't have anything else, but my preference on these would be, I almost want to go back to the 11 just because, but I understand that 9 then keeps the rural areas rural, but there is very strong evidence to support the MSA, the 4-county MSA area.
Thank you. Further remarks? Comments? Senator Cutler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, committee, for indulging us in this discussion, because I think for those of us who sat and heard the explanation about the MSA area and why it is a part of politically how people are identified and where they want their political clout to come from, it would be much easier to just take Sioux Falls and conceptualize it as a city limit, a city with city limits, and that is your conurbation area. But the real reality of how that area works is really different than any other part of the state. There is no other metropolitan area, statistical area, in the state. And that's why it works differently than Rapid City does. Even though Rapid City has, a sizable population and it has some bedroom communities, the way those folks work and politically align is not the same. And that's why even the Census Bureau recognizes, and it's why they designate an area an MSA. Remember, this isn't just the folks in Sioux Falls working together with the mayor of Lenox. This is a designation that comes from the Census Bureau that recognizes politically and geographically the realities that are different from the way other cities and other urban/rural areas work. And that is really, I guess, what I'm laboring to make sure that as part of our discussion, we understand that it really is different than having a conurbation area where you say, okay, this is urban, this is that city, those are the city or county limits. With the way this area operates, for those folks to be represented in Pierre politically, their political clout is tied to that MSA and to the Sioux Falls area. And so that's why I guess I've labored so hard and allowed the committee to take a lot of testimony when we were in Sioux Falls from not only the local folks, as I said, but I was in touch with the mayors of many of those. The mayor of Sioux Falls has a group of mayors that he regularly works with, and I was in touch with those mayors as well. And I can tell you that, you know, rather than us define what their role is, I think it's better for us to listen to them and let them tell us what their role is. And for at least those four county areas, McCook, Turner, Lincoln, and Minnehaha, the conurbation area has to be conceptually different than just a city or county limit boundary.
Senator Schleckman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I want to piggyback off Senator Cutler's remarks. We did hear at our subcommittee meeting on June 27th, longtime, now retired Minnehaha County auditor gave some testimony. Her name is Sue Roust. And she wrote a letter, of which I'm just going to share just a few sentences, but she strongly encouraged us, and I know we're talking about the broader conurbation lines here, but I think this pertains to what we're talking about. She strongly encouraged us not to draw legislative boundaries along the Sioux Falls city limits alone. The city, as all of us know in this room know, constantly is expanding. We have townships that are being encroached upon. And so these are some things we got to be cognizant of. And I think it adds merit to the what we're talking about. And so I would agree with what Senator Cutler said.
Thank you. Further comment, Senator Rode?
Well, not to belabor the point, but I want to reiterate that I don't disagree with anything that's been said. I think the difference is, I think we have the perspective that the conurbation district has to reflect the metropolis or the metropolitan area, or those people are going to be disenfranchised. What I'm submitting is they won't. If they're part of that area, if they're influenced, if they're working in Sioux Falls, they will be intrinsically tied to Sioux Falls, and those districts will reflect that with or without the conurbation. All I'm asking you to do is keep a perspective on what the intention of the conurbation district is, and that's to provide input and draw distinct boundaries. One other question for the chair, as far as the action of this committee, the action of this committee as a whole was voted on was nine member conurbation. So is that the starting point we're at right now? Thank you.
Further remarks? Senator Cutler.
Yes, and I concur with the subcommittee was tasked with going out to recommend a 9-district area with the caveat that if we had testimony that supported something different from that, that we would bring it back to the committee. And again, the ranking of the committee was with 9B ranked as one. But I wanted to give you the significance of why suddenly you would see an 11 or a 10 district submitted for your consideration. I think this is a process, and I realize all of our discussion today is part of the process. Mr. Chairman, as you've indicated, we're more or less working under a gentleman's agreement type situation where we're going to agree or find consensus on what we're doing here and then move forward. So I don't want to belabor it any more at all. I thank you for the discussion. I think that you probably now have a better grasp on the kind of testimony that we heard, both from the rural and city folks in terms of how they view their political clout and what they view as fair to them in terms of determining their representation and how tied they are to any one given area. So I thank you for the indulgence of time this morning, and I'm sure as we work through the process, we'll come to the right boundary areas. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments? Representative Gosch?
I was not able to make the first meeting, so I didn't hear the discussions on the conurbation districts or the history behind it, why it was first introduced and why we do it. But it's my understanding that we isolate the two largest towns in South Dakota so then we can address the rest of the state with the rest of the districts by excluding the population from those large areas. If that's the only purpose, then do you really need all that discussion on MSA and this greater area? Because if you do that, then with Rapid City, you look at least five legislative districts, maybe six, when you start going out of that greater metropolitan area. But we didn't do that on the western side of the state in Rapid City. In fact, we took out parts that are traditionally recognized as Rapid City, including the Ellsworth Air Force Base. We don't even have the Rapid City Airport in the conurbation district. Now, clearly, that's part of Rapid City. There are parts in many different housing developments in Meade County of people who almost solely work in Rapid City. Thousands of people in southern Meade County, which is just outside Rapid City limits, just across the county line, north of the mall, north of the Harley-Davidson shop, west of the base. So having missed that first meeting and not knowing exactly why we do conurbation boundaries anyway, but if that's why we do it, to simply take out those sections, those populations, so we can draw the rest of the state, then I think the argument for the MSA loses some merit.
Senator Schleckley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I sense a little bit of tug of war going on up here, but I would just like to make a motion to the full committee to accept the what was our subcommittee's number one choice, and that's the 9B conurbation area, 9 District B, and hopefully that might expedite some of our conversation. So I'd like to make that motion.
Okay, that's been moved, seconded by Representative Fargin. Any discussion on that motion? Representative Wismer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My only concern would be that we're allowing for growth in the Sioux Falls city limits within the conurbation area that we're considering. So when I'm looking at that map, can someone tell me, are we allowing for how many miles away from the current Sioux Falls city limits is the Turner-Minnehaha County line?
Senator Peters?
Mr. Chair, thank you. It was my understanding that we weren't to take into consideration any growth. It was just to draw the lines and look at an area that looks at who affiliates or who associates with Sioux Falls or who's considered what. We weren't supposed to look at where the growth areas are because we could get sued, was my understanding, or to make some districts smaller because they're going to be anticipated to grow over the next 10 years. That was something that I was under the impression that we were not supposed to be taking a look at. Is that correct?
That is correct. You can't, put a negative population in Sioux Falls anticipating that it'll grow and it won't change the districts as much 10 years from now. I don't see that in this plan. Traveling that area the way I do, I can tell you that there is green between there, but those communities are definitely bedroom communities to Sioux Falls. T, especially Harrisburg, even more so. You have a harder time now than you did 5 years ago in recognizing when you leave one municipal boundary to the next, in the Harrisburg area, especially when you go down that way. So I'm not as concerned. I know there is some green in there, but you are too when you get up to Del Rapids in that area. Representative Wismer.
I'm talking about addressing county auditor's concerns about complicated ballots and splitting voting precincts when cities annex and annexing into a different legislative district. That's what I was hoping to address and to stay away from.
I think the makeup of our state, we're never going to avoid to that, you know, to totally. Representative Fargin, did you have a...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did come out second this, and I just want to talk a little bit about it. I think it's kind of a compromise between looking at the larger MSA, the four-county plan, compared to just looking at the city of Sioux Falls. And I think it's kind of reaching out to a lot of the places there in Minnehaha County that do all affiliate with Sioux Falls, but it's not limiting just the Sioux Falls area. And it's also taking into consideration the Lincoln County testimony and the Union County testimony down in the Sioux Falls when it comes to the school districts and where Dayton County does align with Canton and Grant, or Dayton Township aligns with Canton and Grant Township aligns with Lenox. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Cutler?
We really are and can't be bound by certain lines that are there, as Senator Schleckway referred to Sue Rouse. These aren't firm boundaries yet, and so it's more the concept of a nine district rather than an exact line, if that provides any comfort to. And I'm sure we will try to work through those things because we don't want to split precincts and such. As much as we can, we want to stay away from that. But we don't know what the exact boundary is here, except that we can say we aren't setting up the boundaries based on exact city line limits or exact county line limits. It's more the population of the area that's being considered rather than those types of boundaries.
And I think, too, when we started this process, we were tasked with trying to keep counties whole if possible, municipalities whole if possible, and I think that's our charge across the state, and we're trying to do that. And I think they've tried to do that in this map as best they can. And so any further comments on the motion on the table at this point? Hearing none, all those in favor of the Schleckway motion to work under the gentleman's agreement that District 9B plan be adopted, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay?
No.
That will pass. We will work under the assumption that 9B is our conurbation district. Subcommittees. The chairman of each of those subcommittees shall work with the staff to try to find dates that will work and locations on the reservations. I have planned to visit seven of the nine. I did not see a reason that Flandreau would need to be visited because of one, their size, but two, of their locale, they're locked in. Same with the Sisseton-Wahpeton, they're just in District 1. I mean, that there's not much we can do there to avoid that. So gonna calendar being handed out. If you know of dates that you think would work, you'd like to try to make work, now is a good time to look at that map. Every member on here, you know, we do get our meeting per diem, so there'll be every person is on one of these subcommittees. You are, however, certainly welcome to attend as many of these as you can, especially if they're not on the same days. You'll only get paid for the one that you are on the subcommittee, though. So if you want to go to Standing Rock or Cheyenne, and you live in Sioux Falls, just be aware that you won't get reimbursed for that. I would encourage you to do so if you'd like to be there, but you'll only get reimbursed for the ones that you're assigned to. If for some reason the date falls and you realize that you're not going to be able to make it to that subcommittee, my desire would be to still have 5 members there. So if you would, I would ask that you try to find a sub, a replacement. And then if that is the case, then that person will be reimbursed a second time for attending that meeting as a member of that subcommittee. But we'll need to know that. Staff will need to know that so they know who to reimburse. I know Senator Bradford has showed interest from the very beginning to attend as many as possible, and I encourage him to do so. And it might be where we're going to have some meetings on the same day, that the date might just work out. But the brought to my attention that finding dates that will work on the reservations may be difficult. Finding locations may also be a challenge, but so the subcommittee chair will work with staff to work out those times, and hopefully when they are posted, they'll work for a majority of the members. And again, if not, make some phone calls if you know it's a date that doesn't work for you. It'll be easier to find a sub, I would suggest, than it will be to change the date and time. So the other thing I would like to do with these subcommittees is to have us discuss some proposed districts. I think if we go there and just have a verbal input from the reservations, we're not going to get much. I think they need to have some pre-drawn concepts for districts that they can look at these meetings, and then offer some input based off of those drawings. I know I'm a more visual person and a visual learner than I am, and I would suspect most people would be. So I think the course of today will, I think we need to look at and propose some drawings that we will be sending out as early as we can, so that they have some prep time to look at them and give us some solid feedback on yes, they like this concept. The exact lines, again, of course, we won't know those, but we'll have some pretty good ideas of where we go. So with that, any comments from Representative Junkie?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as we're going down that vein of discussion, with the proposed areas that we're going to go visit, are we going to look at those potential maps as a full committee and kind of discuss them today before I'm assuming these subcommittees are going to meet before the full committee, so that the full committee is kind of aware of some proposed maps that deal with the 7 reservations?
Yeah, my desire today would be to come up with a committee as a whole supported concept, so that we're all the subcommittees are working off the same papers. I think our feedback will be more consistent that way, and probably a better feedback.
Ruben has additional maps too.
My understanding is Ruben has some additional maps that for possibilities. And if there be no objection, I think we can go into that now. We've got about 45 minutes until lunchtime. I guess I would like to start looking at some of these maps and I don't know if we'd rank them. There's some we might just throw out altogether, but I think we can get some input from Ruben and look at some of these maps and then pick the handful or such what we are going to propose and talk about and try to get feedback from. Any objection to that at this time?
Thank you.
Hearing none, I would ask Ruben to go through the maps that he's proposing and draft.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You recall at the first meeting I gave you an extensive number of maps, and that would, in my opinion, pretty much fulfill what you're suggesting needs to be given to the Native American peoples as choices. I've got a few alterations today, which I'm passing out to you to show that we're still working on this, but basically they're the same number of big ideas. There's American horse, there's hollow horn bear, there's spotted tail, and there's little wound. And some combination of those are going to be necessary in order to keep us from being sued in federal district court and losing. If there are versions of the maps that you don't want shown on these meetings, I think that's a perfectly legitimate discussion, and I'm all in favor of narrowing this down. But I would caution you that I do think it would be counterproductive for the committee to say, here's what we're proposing to you folks. What do you think of it? From the standpoint that that is going to, in a sense, limit the opportunity of the Native American peoples to discuss what their particular vision is. So that's the way we've done it in the past. I've always presented numerous alternatives to them when we go down there. I explain to them some of the features and advantages and disadvantages of the various maps, and then we hopefully will get some productive input from the committee. As far as scheduling is concerned, I think it's important for you to know that we've teamed up with Secretary LaPlante to help us schedule meetings on the reservation. And quite frankly, this is an area where you as subcommittee members may have to be very flexible, because it's very difficult to get a date on the reservations, and it's very difficult to get anybody to commit to any particular date. The good part is that Secretary LaPlante has been very helpful in working with us, and I think that's going to give us more access to the reservation than we would have had otherwise. The bad part is that we have found out that we're basically in competition with the governor. The governor has also organized a group of small meetings on the reservations during the month of August. And so you can imagine that we're up against some tough competition. Obviously, a tribal official with a chance to talk to the governor about anything they want to talk to the governor about is going to be much more impressed with that opportunity than a chance to talk to five legislators on the sole topic of redistricting. So that's an additional obstacle that's been thrown in our past that's going to make this whole idea of scheduling and getting good cooperation from the tribes a little more difficult. Obviously, I don't want to go over my whole presentation from before, but as I told you before, in order to comply with case law and the Federal Voting Rights Act, they're going to have to be Indian districts which do not regress from the current situation. And what that means in practical effect is that there will be a district based on American horse, the so-called Oglala district, the Bradford district, whatever you want to call it, with some minor modifications. And then you will have to choose between hollow horn bear, little wound, and spotted tail. And in addition to that, if you do not choose hollow horn bear, you'll have to recreate the Van Norman shrimp district on Eagle Butte, in my opinion, to keep from losing a lawsuit. So you already have those in your books. I'm not going to reiterate those unless you have some questions about them. But to show you that we continue to work on this, we have a few modifications off the big ideas from that were presented last time to show you. The first of those is American Horse 5.0. This was actually conceived by Dave. It's an interesting plan in that it reaches out and gets more Native American population by going up and taking the Cherry Creek and Red Scaffold areas out of Zeebach County. It's an interesting concept because it really boosts the number of Native Americans in American Horse, but it does unite some folks in on the Cheyenne River Reservation who are not used to thinking with and working with the Oglalas on Pine Ridge. Another one that's been we've been asked to draw is American Horse 6.0. The big concept here is to get Jackson County as well as Haakon County out of the Oglala district. As you may be aware, about 35 years ago, Washaba County, which is part of Jackson County below the White River, was an unorganized county, and Jackson County primarily through the leadership of some local people in Kadoka, chose to solve the unorganized county population by bringing Washaba County into Jackson. As a result, in old Jackson County, which is the Jackson County north of the White River, that's a predominantly white area. The area south of the river is a predominantly Lakota area. And so we were asked to look at what would happen if we, in effect, split old Washaba off of Jackson and let Kadoka and Belvedere go a different direction. The only way to get enough population to make that work is to take in Hot Springs. And so although you're trading whites for whites in American Horse 6.0, you are really not doing as much as you would have in some of the other American Horse maps that I've shown you to get the Native American population into the Oglala District. Hot Springs is an overwhelmingly white area, whereas the Ulrichs and Buffalo Gap areas, which are linked with American Horse and some of the other maps, do have at least a significant minority of Native Americans. We've had a lot of legislative interest in Hollow Horn Bear, and so I'm giving you a few variations to that. Hollow Horn Bear 3.0 restores the towns of Timberlake and Isabel to Hollow Horn Bear, thus making the boundaries on the northern side of the district more complete, more compact. To offset that, we take a larger portion of the Fort Pier area and the rural Fort Pier area and pull it out of the map. Another variation of Hollow Horn Bear 4.0 then takes an even larger portion of the Chanticleer Creek area north of a town, the so-called River Vista houses, out of the Indian District and puts them into the White District. And then the most extreme version of Hollow Horn Bear, which I talked about at some length but didn't show you at the first meeting, reaches across the river and pulls in 1,400 Dakota from the Fort Thompson area, thus maximizing the number of Native Americans that you could get into that particular Hollow Horn Bear district. And in addition to pulling out the Fort Pierce Chanticleer Creek area, then also goes in and breaks Jones County and pulls the towns of Murdo and Draper out of the Indian district and making them available to a whiter district. As I said, if we go to the reservations and you have maps that you do not want us to show to Native Americans, and quite frankly, some of these maps are very similar to each other, and to a certain extent it only complicates the consensus making process to show too many maps to anybody, including legislators. Nevertheless, it would be my intention to show everything that we've got unless you tell us not to.
Representative Fargin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ruben, I know you talked about in the past about the possibility of an ugly map. I guess with the Hollow Horn Bear maps, you know, I really like the creativity. I guess what do you think about us actually getting that approved at the federal level, judges, all that?
Yes. Representative Fargin's question has to do with how ugly does a map have to be before it becomes unconstitutional gerrymander. And you're treading close to that line in Hollow Horn 5.0. The court cases indicate that as long as you're trying to accomplish something purposeful and useful and good, they'll give you a considerable amount of latitude as to how irregular the boundaries of the map look. But yes, Hollowhorn Bear 5.0 is right there, not so much because of the way that it reaches out to pull in the Crow Creek population center at Fort Thompson, but because of those two wasp wastes that you have in northwestern Staten County and western Jones County. Personally, as a lawyer, speaking as a lawyer rather than as a redistrictor, I think the fact that you were able to get the Native American voting population up to almost 70.1, thus giving the Native Americans not only a chance to avoid regression, but to gain an additional senator over what they have now, probably outweighs from a legal standpoint the degree of ugliness that we're generating in this particular map. But reasonable minds could certainly differ about that, and quite frankly, judicial minds could differ about that.
So, Ruben, as I look at these variations that you've printed out here, it would appear to me that American Horse 5.0 would be incompatible with any of the new variations on Hollowhorn Bear because of the three precincts that we take out of Zeebock County. Am I looking at that
correctly? Oh, yes. There are many of these maps that are in that can't work with each other.
Those three particular precincts at the bottom of Zeebock County, would we be able to get the population of those particular three? I mean, if you were to, you understand where I'm going, if you were going to choose one of these or try to make both of those work, how much of a variation are we looking at with those three precincts in the bottom of Zeebock County?
You know, just offhand, it basically comes down to the Indian communities of Cherry Creek and Red Scaffold and the Tokini School. It's not a huge number, and I wouldn't get hung up on American Horse 5.0. I don't think that's a viable map, but again, we show you lots of maps that I don't particularly think have a future, but that's not my decision to make.
Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ruben, you said American Horse 5.0 is not viable. Is that because of the significant 76.6% population, 71%. Is there something else that's offensive about that?
I think it's not politically viable because, I don't think the Oglalas want it, and I don't think the Minneconjures want it. I actually took a map similar to American Horse 5.0 to the Cheyenne River Reservation 20 years ago, and they just about unleashed Senator Peter's flying monkeys on me.
We're just glad those flying monkeys are in the
follow center. Up. Yeah. Now we're on I'm on American Horse 6.0, and that's really, I felt from our June 8th meeting that the goal with the three fives rule is to get the Native American voting age to 65. Rather than, that's at 63, so is that, I think we take these to Indian country with us for them to look at, but is that real one we should really legitimately consider?
I really don't think American 6.0, although it was asked to be drawn, is a viable political option either. Not only is it not a viable political option, but quite frankly, I think it presents very serious legal problems in that not all communities can be judged based purely on, what the demographics of their population is. You have to remember that for many, many years, Fall River, Hot Springs, which is the county seat of Fall River, was responsible for administering the unorganized county of Shannon County. And a lot of friction evolved over the course of those years, and some of it still pretty warm. In addition to that, American Horse 6.0 includes the town of Martin, and Martin has been a flashpoint in race relations for a number of years too. So I've got a feeling that those two communities, being as polarized as they are, there is less of an opportunity of electing a Native American out of a district that contains both Hot Springs and Martin than some of the other proposals that I've shown you for the Oglala District.
American Horse 6 is just a lawsuit. That's all you want. If that's what you want, that's what you get. So, and I know it will be, because you're diluting Indian. And I don't care what you say, you'll be in another one. And they're already on the phone constantly with me now discussing these maps. So you better make sure that you... the other one I seen was where you are going to divide those two reservations up north. You do that, I also think you'll be in a lawsuit. So you better think about that a lot before you start cutting them up too much. The thing that I was going to wanted to talk about was the fact that if you look at the old American Horse 2, which leaves my district as it is except adds part of Fall River, and you make it two single member districts, I think you would you're going to make maybe some people unhappy, but I think you would make those who are not native in that happy. If you just made two single member districts out of that, this one right here, American Horse 2.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ruben, yeah, I do have the American Horse 1, 2, 3, and 4. I guess, are those still on the table with your consideration of being viable politically and also with the percentages? And then the second comment just from Senator Bradford just got insane about splitting it up. Would that be degressing then in those areas, possibly, if they're split up? It depends how they're split up. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, the maps that I showed you at the first meeting are the core of the staff's idea of what is viable in the Native American districts. That's still the core. It'll always be the core. Everything else is messing at the edges. The one map that I showed you today that I do think has a considerable amount of viability is Hollowhorn 5.0, because it does a great deal to guarantee that not only will the Native American representation in the legislature not regress, but will actually increase by one senator. So I do think that's very politically viable, even though the map itself looks a little strange. I'm sorry, I forgot the second part of your question.
Senator Bradford just was talking about the...
Obviously, as I explained to you before, if you do any of the maps other than Hollowhorn Bear, you're going to have to create a single-member district based on Rosebud. You're going to have to create another single-member district based on Dewey County, just as the Shrimp-Van Norman district is now, in order not to regress. You have an interesting legal catch-22 with the Oglala district. The way the Oglala district is configured now, if you split it into two single-member House districts, you'd elect one white out of the Philip Kadoka Martin area, and you'd elect one Native American out of the Shannon County area. So you've got a situation where the case law virtually compels you to create single-member House districts in the Rosebud and the Dewey County area. If you don't unite them through Hollowhorn Bear, but nevertheless, if you went ahead and created a single member district in Shannon County, you could in the Oglala district, you could have a lawsuit and lose it big time by creating a single member district, which in effect was going to guarantee the election of a white.
You think they support that?
They will more than.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Ruben, could you just comment on Hollowhorn Bear 5? Do you believe that would eliminate the need for potentially any single member districts in that particular legislative district?
Yeah. Right. If the choice were some form of American horse, which is virtually compelled, plus Hollowhorn Bear 5, or any form of Hollowhorn Bear for that matter, then I don't think the state would be required to create any single member districts because the population is large enough and spread in such a way that you would virtually ensure the election of one Native American senator out of each district and two Native American representatives out of each district.
I disagree with you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ruben, I have a follow-up on Hollowhorn Bear 5. Standing Rock Tribe, you know, the McLaughlin area, Corson County, do we run into some issues there? Their exclusion from Hollowhorn Bear 5 obviously would bring too many people, and if we had them in, what would that do with Standing Rock and Corson County?
Now, any American citizen has a right to bring a lawsuit. However, I think that's, of all the potential lawsuits, that would be the easiest one to defend. I mean, obviously, you can't cut the state in half. You can't create a district that's bigger than a plus a five, which would be necessary to bring in even the eastern half of Corson County, which is the Native American area. It's just an impossibility, and the courts will never impose an impossibility upon anyone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And a two-part question now that we're on Hollowhorn Bear 5.0. And the follow-up with the numbers on the bottom, are we triggering packing at 76.39 and 71% voter age? I mean, we're getting probably, for making a very unattractive map, we're getting quite a ways up above the 3-5 rule.
Right. That's an interesting question, and I'm glad you asked, because it gives me a chance to talk about Old District 27, which we lost. Old District 27 was considered to be packing. There are two components of packing. First, you put too many people into the district to get the result that you want. And the second component of packing is that there has to be some place to use those folks someplace else to give them an influence district over something. So there's a big difference between Hollowhorn Bear 5.0 and Old District 27. In Old District 27, we had a lot of Native Americans in 27, but there were other Native Americans out there which we could have used that excess of Native American population to fuse with to create either another single-member House district or another influence Senate district. If you use Hollowhorn Bear, even though you're reaching out and collecting as many Native Americans as you can, these people are in a much more isolated situation, and there's very little that you could, there's no way that you could combine the excess Native American population with other potential free-flowing Native American populations in such a way to create a majority and minority district. There isn't even enough anyplace else to create influence districts. Senator Schleckaway has pointed out that the only other Native Americans that are in this particular area are the Hunkpapas on Corson County, and we can't be inclusive enough to get them in. So, yes, it's a high percentage, but it doesn't fulfill the second component of packing, which is that you're not just putting these people all in one district, but that you could have used them to better purpose by placing them someplace else.
So, I you know, 76 acceptable, obviously, I even have a map of old District 27 with a new, and 88 or 90%, I'm sure, is very offensively packed. Where is, over your case law review, are we pushing the limit of packing? Because I think we're getting to 76. Are we to the upper limit?
I understand your concern. I do think that not only the many of the legislators, but many of the court and lobbyist groups like the ACLU are too hung up on numbers. First of all, Native Americans are a very different type of minority than blacks and Hispanics, and almost all the case law has to do with blacks and Hispanics. The other thing is you have to look at the totality of the issue. Suppose we've got enough Native Americans that we could make a district that's 76% Native American, but there are no other Native Americans around that we could unite that excess with to make an influence. There's no political harm in putting them in a district if you have no other place to use them. They're going to be happier in the Native American district than they are as a minority in a majority-majority district. So I think you've got a very different setting than Old 27, and certainly the numbers that are in the district should be of concern to you, but I don't think it's as important as the overall configuration of how you're allotting representation to the Native Americans as they exist in sight on the reservations.
Thank you. And to shift gears a little, Ruben, with Hollow Horn Bear 5 that Dave has up on the screen, is there, you know, rather than using rural Stanley County to bridge over and split a precinct in northern Lyman County, Kennebec precinct, to get to the Lower Brule Reservation and then get to Fort Thompson, number-wise, I think the map, I mean, just visualizing it, and you said Corson is not an option, but I thought that would make a more attractive map if we could go in there and get part of Corson with a significant Native population rather than going off to the east and going across the river.
Right.
I mean, have you done any numbers of that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, that's basically spotted tail combined with Bigfoot from your first presentation. If you took Spotted Tail and divided Spotted Tail into two single-member house districts, you'd elect a Native American out of the Rosebud Reservation. Plus, you'd continue the existence of the Van Norman Shrimp single-member district in the Big Pasture District.
Ruben, have you drawn these proposals in contemplation of what the surrounding legislative districts are going to need to be in light of population growth?
No, we've looked at, and I'm sorry you weren't here at the first meeting, Representative Gosch, but I presented a lot of demographics on Native American population growth and, quite frankly, white population decline in these particular areas, but no, none of this contemplates any growth. Everything that I'm doing is an attempt to keep us from being sued.
Follow up. Please.
Well, in light of that response, why would we deviate from Judge Schreier's decision, and why wouldn't we try to draw a single-member district similar to what she proposed?
Quite frankly, the ACLU asked for a limited remedy in the Hart case, whatever it was called. I forget what the name of it was. They asked for a limited remedy. They didn't come in and ask for Hollow Horn Bear. They asked to take District 21, 26, 27, and rearrange them so that you could create another single-member house district out of that. Quite frankly, if the ACLU had been bold enough to come in and say, look, there's enough population that we can access on the Cheyenne River Reservation to create two majority-minority Senate districts, I think she probably would have granted that to them. But they didn't ask for it, and, of course, since they didn't ask for it, she didn't consider it.
Ruben, when you mentioned the ACLU and potential of lawsuits, can we look forward to hearing from them at any of these subcommittee meetings and putting input in, or do they simply wait for us to take action and then sue us?
I know that the ACLU was represented at the first meeting. I don't see at least the same people here today. The last time around that we did it, the first time we heard from the ACLU was when we went to the Wolf Creek meeting. A representative had handed Representative Volandra a map, which quite frankly was a very amateurishly drawn map by some people who were obviously unfamiliar with South Dakota geography. And then we never heard from them again until they sued us.
Representative Gosh.
Ruben, back to the proposals here based on the surrounding counties. For example, District 30 has grown, and with the conurbation line around Rapid City being what it is, it's even larger. To some extent, then, don't these have to take that into account?
Oh, absolutely. The biggest defect with any part of the Hollow Horn Bear plan is that it virtually cuts the state in half. Not quite, but virtually. And so that's like squeezing the toothpaste in the middle. It creates problems on how you bridge from one big glob of toothpaste on one end to the other big glob of toothpaste on the other. If you were doing this purely from a redistricting principle map, you'd take Little Wound, because Little Wound creates virtually no problems for redistrictors, since it runs right along the Nebraska border and maximizes the options that you have for the middle of the map. Every single one of these has good features and poor features, and the worst feature by far of Hollow Horn Bear is that it really constricts what you do West River and in the Missouri River, Jim River Valley. It has implications at least three tiers deep into these rural districts.
And then I hate to use the word pack, but as you start packing population groups into certain areas, aren't you also then diluting them in other legislative districts?
You are. If there's a significant enough number to influence an election in another district, and you're using too many, and therefore eliminating the opportunity of a viable influence district someplace else, then you're clearly packing. But it's my contention that there's nobody close enough to Crow Creek Reservation and Lower Brule Reservation to put them together to create a district that has a 35% voting minority population. And as far as the courts are concerned, the case law has shown again and again and again that even in dealing with African Americans and Hispanics, who tend to vote at a much higher level than the Native Americans, that the courts are not going to go out of their way to say that the state has to create influence districts unless that minority voting population reaches at least the 33 1/3% category.
Further questions for Ruben? Well, I think we're getting relatively close to lunch, and I don't want to make a decision on this before lunch. I think we should ponder it, come back afterwards, and take a look at the maps that we have. If we want to keep them all as a packet and make them available to all the Native Americans or to everyone, I guess, then we can do that. But if there's some we want to just get rid of because they're just not going to work, I think we should pull them out of that packet. And but if we're not hearing any objection this afternoon, we'll come back at 1. We'll have some public testimony at 1:15. We'll open that up again for not only the Native American, but in general. I know there's some visitors here that were at some of the subcommittee meetings, and it'd be nice to, well, while that's still on our mind, to get some public input as committee as a whole from them. And then we'll pick the packet of maps that we want available, so we are all talking on the same maps when we go on our subcommittees. And then this afternoon, I think we're going to have some time where if people, either committee members and or visitors, have some proposed maps that they have already been working on and would like to just give some overview for us for thought, I think we would entertain some of those if people had some overall state maps drawn up. I think the time is starting to get near us where we need to start looking across the state. The conurbation districts are relatively agreed on a set for boundaries, and I know that people have maps that are drawn up, and so I think we can probably have time to do some of that this afternoon. So if you have those maps in your vehicles, bring them this afternoon. Anything else before we break for lunch? I think... We will open it up for some public testimony at this point. They may have some thoughts also, the ones that are in the room anyway, on the maps that were given to us to consider as options. So with that, if there's anyone here that would like to take a moment at public testimony, please step forward and introduce yourself and share comments. Okay. Question? It can be both. We'll come back to public testimony on statewide maps later on. But if you have a comment on the conurbation, or we'd welcome those comments now if someone... Representative Boland?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just going to appear now as a citizen of Lincoln County. The staff is passing out a resolution that comes to you from the Lincoln County Commission. This is going to be very brief. I'm going to read it very quickly. Whereas Lincoln County is the third largest county in South Dakota in population, and whereas Lincoln County currently is divided between four legislative districts, and whereas for the last 20 years Lincoln County has been divided between a variety of legislative districts, and whereas we believe that effective legislative representation would be enhanced by a district or districts entirely confined within the boundaries of our county, therefore, be it hereby resolved that we as the County Board of Commissioners for Lincoln County, South Dakota, respectfully ask the current redistricting subcommittee and full committee of the South Dakota Legislature to create at least one legislative district totally within the boundaries of Lincoln County. It was moved by Commissioner Schmidt, seconded by Long. All commissioners present voted aye. So it's just a resolution coming to you from the Lincoln County Commission asking that one entire legislative district out of the 35 be entirely within the boundaries of the third largest county in population in the state. Thank you.
Thank you.
If any questions, I'd be more than happy to try to answer them. They knew I was going to be here, and so they asked me if I would present this for them.
Any members on the committee have any questions for Representative Boland? If not, thank you, and we will.
If I could just make one other comment, it just seems to me that's a pretty modest request. They're just asking for one of the 35. Thank you.
Very good. Any further public testimony at this point?
Okay, I'm Joel Kyleber from Tripp County. Yeah, I kind of like to make a comment on the conurbation districts, and I think what we're doing a lot is we're diluting a lot of our rural vote as we get our conurbation districts bigger, and it's making it a lot more difficult in our rural areas when we start getting close to our bigger urban areas to get the people in numbers that we need. You know, a lot of people that, especially, you know, like go to Sioux Falls and stuff, they go to Sioux Falls not because they want to be in Sioux Falls. They go there because that's the only place they can find a job that they can make a living at. So, you know, and they do that because that's where we build our infrastructure. If you don't have infrastructure outside of the town, you're going to have the people move there. It's not because that's where they want to be. So I kind of think we're defeating what we have set up as a representative government to represent the people, not to represent cities or parties or anything else, but to represent the people. And we really need to ask ourselves as we start doing this, is this the best way to represent the people in that area? Are we trying to make it easier for a city or something? Because, you know, that's not about representing towns. It's about representing people. So, and thank you.
Any further public testimony at this point? There'll be a chance later for maps if you have, but this would be the time for general response to process so far, and welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Julie Johnson. I represent Absolutely Aberdeen, a growth initiative in Northeast South Dakota. Just to inform you that we have been working on how to carve up Aberdeen, because Aberdeen is the third largest city and too large for one district and not big enough for two districts. But of course, that really brings us to the decision, like you've done with Rapid City and Sioux Falls and those areas, about what the outer boundaries need to be. So we had hoped that we would have a carve-up suggestion for you today. We didn't find the answer to that yet, but are hoping there'd still be a small amount of time for us to figure out what the outer boundaries might look like and to be respectful of our regional neighbors. We have a bit of a regional trade territory there and a micropolitan statistical area, looking at whether any of that makes sense without being disrespectful to our neighbors. So I don't know how your process works exactly. I missed your first meeting, so I'm hoping there's still an opportunity to bring something forward to you in the future that can accomplish those goals.
There will be an opportunity to do that. Whenever that would be ready from the Aberdeen area, feel free to send it into LRC, and they'll make sure staff will make sure all of us get a copy of that.
Ask them if they want it posted on the web. Just ask them if they'd like it posted on the web to the committee documents.
If you'd like it posted on the web, indicate that when you send it in, and
great,
we'll make sure that it's available in multiple forms. So,
thank you very much.
And I would assume at our next meeting will be the time where we will start making the final decisions towards a final map. So when that date is decided upon, we'll have between now and that date to continue to gather information. So,
very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any further input? So hearing none at this point, we will took our lunch break. We are back. We have the maps for the reservation areas or Native Americans. So is there any discussion on those, which ones we should include or exclude? And Representative Fargin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was hoping that Ruben can get back up there if he's around. And just kind of talk. Is he not around? I don't see him. Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I guess when he does come up, I was hoping maybe he can go in and tell us which are the some of them that are a little bit more risky than others, so we have a general idea, and then relationships of the different tribes and how they work well together or they don't. I think that would be very helpful for us.
Yeah, and I think we'll also ask Ruben and staff if they would. The maps that we do pick is to give us talking points on those, on what they were trying to accomplish by looking at the map, so that we're all the subcommittees have the same talking points on the same map. So,
Mr. Chair.
Senator Roden?
Well, just kind of a question for Mr. Fry, as far as maybe a broader discussion or on the on how these plans. I'm curious if we've done anything to kind of look at the state as a whole and see if these proposals on the reservation are within the realm of possibility, given the scope of the fight, the struggle we're going to have with connecting the dots between the Indian districts and the other areas of the state.
If I might, Mr. Chairman, we have indeed played around because you, one of the things we do when we do conurbation districts or do districts for individuals is to look at how that'll ripple out and to warn them about choke points or areas of difficulty or where we will have to break counties. You know, a lot of concern about that in the Southeast. The bigger the Southeast got, would we have to cut Yankton in half? That sort of thing. So yes, we did go out and look at that, and we have looked at the maps in the Native American areas of this state, and we do know, for example, that and that's one of the reasons there. Not only was Hollow Horn Bear a problem, you know, or Carson County a problem in Hollow Horn Bear for numbers, but it as Ruben alluded earlier, it created a bridge problem too. If we cut off too much of one state, one half of the state from the other half of the one third from the other third, we had a lot of trouble then getting the districts to work right, especially in the West, because you don't have quite enough numbers. So we looked at that. We've got some ideas. Several of the plans will work. You know, there's not just one that will work. Several of them will work, and we can get the rest of the state to work, especially now that we know what the conurbation districts are, especially now that we know how far Rapid City is going to go to the south and west. Knowing that was very helpful, and also knowing what was going to go north up into the big pasture, 28, was also very helpful to know. And now that we know those things and know where Meade County stands and that, we're going to be able to draw some fairly good maps, I think, with several of Ruben's alternatives involved, whether we choose Hollow Horn Bear, if we go with the Spotted Tail American Horse, you know, grouping of the single-member districts, whatever we do, there will be ways to make that work. So.
Any further comments? Ruben, I see you're back. We had Representative Fargin had a question about of the maps that we have in front of us. American Horse 1 through whatever, Spotted Tail and the like. Of those, are there some of those that we should just throw out because of legalities as we're going to thin our packet down just somewhat, and which ones are probably the most practical that we would feel the most comfortable recommending or at least...
I really do not, Mr. Chairman, I really do not feel that American Horse 5 or 6 has any real viability.
Okay.
As far as the Hollow Horn Bear is concerned, I think because it is such a critical decision that probably all 5 versions of Hollow Horn Bear are worthy of being shown.
Are worthy?
Of Hollow Horn Bear. All 5 versions.
Okay.
I think are worthy of being shown. Obviously, it's just one big idea, but there is a significant enough amount of variation in it so that people could feel strongly in favor of one version and not of another. Spotted Tail 1 and 2 are virtually the same, so really only one is necessary, and I'd pick one. There's only one version of Little Wound, and that needs to be shown. There's only one version of Bigfoot, and it needs to be shown.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question? Okay. Ruben, would you characterize Hollow Horn Bear 5 as a mandated gerrymander?
No, I don't believe it is necessarily in a dictionary definition, it is a gerrymander, yes.
Okay.
In a legal case law situation, it is not compact. But it is not gerrymandered because the lines are drawn for some specific and, I believe, legitimate reason. Now, that does not mean that somebody else is not going to look at it and view it differently than I do. I think the test is going to be in the pudding. You know, if it elects a second Native American to the legislature, and if it elects two Native American, if not necessarily Native Americans, but two people who have a Native American support to the House of Representatives, and I think it's the proof is in the pudding, and I think the federal courts would be exceedingly reluctant to say that a plan that demonstrably increased Native American representation in the legislature is in some way racist.
Okay. So would you then say that the overriding purpose of the creation of the district countermands the obvious, at least to me, the obvious distortions in the geography?
Yes, sir. You've always been taking lessons from the University Law School on how to cross-examine the witness.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Reuben, you didn't mention the one that I said was, I think, absolutely unacceptable. Not only does it, Air American Horse 6.
I said I wouldn't show that one.
Yeah, I want that thrown out because, first of all, it splits Jackson County in two and then throws Hot Springs in, and I know both places.
Yep. Yes, any questions of, you know, racial demographics aside, I think one of the very bad features of American Horse 6 is that it takes a county which is recently put together and recreates, in effect, the old split. I don't see how that can be helpful from a local government standpoint.
Further questions, concerns, input on the map? So if I understand you correctly, Reuben, American Horse 1, 2, and...
I'd show every map I've got except American Horse 5 and 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all right. Let them look at them.
Any other comments? Representative Wismer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm still trying to get my bearings here, but could someone explain to me why, as long as you were going to go all the way up to almost the northern border, why wouldn't you pick up Corson and leave off crossing, going over to the east side of the river? Because the east side of the river, then you could just go down to the southeast. So what are the factors in play there?
Again, what I really believe you were describing is Spotted Tail as one Senate district and then Bigfoot as an independent House district. I think that's exactly what you're describing, except that you have to put Bigfoot and Spotted Tail together to accomplish that purpose.
I don't have those other maps in front of me that you're talking about, but just general concept. There's more people up in Corson County than there is if you pick them up and don't go across the river to the east. That the numbers just don't work.
No, it's how you utilize the people in the place where they're at. If you look at Bigfoot, Dave, give me a big question. If you look at Bigfoot, that's basically the Van Norman Shrimp District at the moment.
Reuben, could you use your mic? Thanks.
Is it?
Okay, if you look at Bigfoot, which is a single-member house district, that's basically the existing Van Norman Shrimp District, which has existed for 20 years. That utilizes all the Native Americans that are in that immediate area. So, if you use Hollow Horn Bear, you can't recreate Bigfoot because you got too many people in one district. Plus, it goes from North Dakota. It goes from the Nebraska border to the North Dakota border, and therefore you're taking just a risk that the numbers on the west side of Hollow Horn Bear and the numbers on the east side of Hollow Horn Bear work out. In any case, it won't work because there's just too many people, too many Native Americans. So if you don't like hollow horn bear, you pick American horse or little wound, and you supplement it with the single member house district in Bigfoot. It's as simple as that. Remember, the core idea is always no regression. And if you use spotted tail, for instance, and couple it with Bigfoot, then there's no regression because you're going to have the Oglala district, which is going to elect a senator and two representatives. You're going to have a single member house district on Rosebud, and you're going to have a single member house district based on Dewey and Eastern Corson counties.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Thank you. And again, Ruben, just to reiterate the question I asked this morning, from a consistency standpoint, hollow horn bear 5, at least in your opinion, would eliminate the need for any single member districts within the state for the House of Representatives.
As far as compliance with the Voting Rights Act is concerned, yes. There would be no need for single-member House districts.
Okay, thank you.
They were looking for an overall map. I thought, well, maybe we'll swap map.
I think some of the explanation is...
This would have been beautiful.
You know, I think part of Representative Wismer's question, I was just wondering if we could, especially when we go on the reservations, have some of these within the whole outline of the state just so they have
and
the visual perspective of,
you know, I was hoping that by keeping them in component parts that would make it easier, but I can see that for some of you it would be better to couple them. And so what I'm going to do is create another set of maps where I take American horse and couple it with hollow horn bear, take American horse, couple it with spotted tail plus Bigfoot, another one where I take American horse, couple it with little wound, couple it with Bigfoot, so that they can see that all of these maps have at least two components. Some of them have three components.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful. And then we were also talking with the maps that we have as to, like you've done so well for us here because you're present, but would we have some talking points highlighting maybe the thought process on some of these? Is
sure, you know, it'd be my expectation that we'll send the staff person with you, if not me, somebody who understands and can explain them. I can certainly put talking points together for you, but I believe you'd be better served with an oral staff presentation, if for no other reason than, again, from the legal standpoint, if I make notes, those are admissible into court, and if I put something down that gives the plaintiffs rope to hang you with, you don't want that. Then if through inadvertence or something I leave something out that would have helped us, we can't say, well, that was discussed orally. Again, so much of what I'm trying to do here is to help you stay out of court, and if you do get into court, to win, and I don't think that talking points on these maps contributes to that end purpose.
Okay, very good. Further comments? Senator Cutler, anything? Hit a bewildered look on your face.
If nobody else has any questions for Ruben on these maps, I see that the Secretary of State is signed in at the back, and we know how valuable his time is, so if he'd like to make a few comments, we'd certainly oblige him at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I was afraid there wasn't air conditioning up here, so I didn't know if I wanted to venture all the way up here.
Just listening to your hearings that you've been having, and some concerns that I guess I have, and in conjunction with some county auditors and some city and schools, is when you are getting to that next level, especially with Sioux Falls and Rapid City, when you start cutting that up into your districts, I think it's beneficial that we continue to think about the voter and we continue to think about Election Day. If we start, and I know as the legislative committee, you can do what you please with your districts, but to think about if we start cutting some precincts in half and we have Legislative District 1 votes on this ballot and Legislative District votes on this ballot, that we could then have some possibilities of multiple ballots at a single precinct, which would then probably require the county auditor to break that precinct in half to try and keep things as uniform as we can, so that it is as easy as possible for the voter when they go in there to vote, whether it's at this precinct or that precinct, that they are just going to have one ballot and that the poll workers only have to worry about that one ballot. I know that's kind of early. I don't know if you've started in the discussions of specifically breaking up Sioux Falls and Rapid, but it would be the same, like with Aberdeen being cut up a bit and some of these maps with cutting up areas there. Some counties, of course, have commissioner districts. That's also a concern, and they're also going through their redistricting as well. But some of those factors are also to take into place if we would keep that in mind, so that come election day, it is going to be pretty square, so that we can direct the people where to go vote in that simple manner. Other than that, I'm very excited to offer any assistance that you may need, especially as soon as the special session is completed, to make sure that we have the maps as soon as we can, so that when, if you are running for re-election, other people who are running for office, that we have those maps, we know where all the districts are, so that you can start on January 1st with your petitions. And all that information will be very valuable, so that we can help educate those individuals should they decide to run for office. So with that, Mr. Chairman, just a few very brief comments. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Representative Fargin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hello, Secretary Gant. Nice seeing you. I guess I do have a question. When it does come to special sessions, any laws passed during that, they have to wait 90 days. So would that, I guess, the ballots or collecting our signatures couldn't really start January 1st. Can you explain that? Can we or do we have to wait till the end of January?
Mr. Chairman, my biggest concern there is any lawsuits. If there is a lawsuit filed, especially with the Indian reservation areas, that is going to be a big concern, because that could get tied up in courts. Of course, our deadlines are come that early spring, right after session, for the petitions to be filed with court rulings. We'll have to see what the court is going to do, how fast they're going to act, whether we have to have some sort of special arrangements for those situations. We're probably going to have to do that. But I am exploring that to see what our options are, see what we did 10 years ago, and see if that was the right way, or if maybe we have to do something this session to fix that problem. Thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Senator Bradford.
One thing, I don't know whether Secretary Gant or whether we should have Yackley, but they told me ACLU is definitely going to sue, not yet over districting, but that one part of the Civil Rights Act was for interpreters, and some counties are not following that, and it's not just it's not just like Shannon County or somebody like that. It's some of those counties that are mixed, more. But they did tell me that they definitely are going to sue to have that, the counties have to follow that. And I, for one, am on on our side, the state side, because I think the counties are strapped pretty hard. I just thought we ought to be looking into what would satisfy them so they ain't forcing that on us. But I do know that the ACLU men wrote me a letter. I have a letter that said they are going to sue over that.
Anything further? So, Secretary Gant, are you aware of any of that? No. Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is probably more for staff within Reuben. From remembering from 10 years ago, you know, with a follow-up from Senator Bradford, when we would think we tried to get the map pre-cleared before the special session. They rejected it. We had to vote on it. Can you kind of give the committee a process that we go through with the Department of Justice with the map and the final product, just to refresh?
Senator Representative Junkie here is absolutely correct. Pre-clearance is a misnomer of the worst order because the Justice Department won't pre-clear anything, but yet the word pre-clearance appears in the law. What it technically means is as soon as you've made that decision, you're to ship it off to them and they tell you whether you've done right or wrong. But we attempted to ship Old District 27 off for pre-clearance. We tried to be good guys in white hats, and the Justice Department said, no, we're not telling you whether this will pass or fail. My theory was, quite frankly, that it didn't require pre-clearance because the law says that you are to pre-clear things when you make changes. And since we didn't change anything from 19 during the 10-year period after we originally created District 27, I still maintain as a lawyer that within the literal meaning of the law, we didn't change anything, so we didn't have to have pre-clearance. But pre-clearance is a misnomer. You don't send it to the Justice Department before you do it and say, is it okay if we do this? You send it to them immediately afterwards and say, how do you like what we did?
Follow. Please.
Yeah, the statement there, Reuben, that you made, how do you like what we did? Do they have authority to the Department of Justice to reject our map? And then do we have, I mean, obviously the one from 10 years ago with Old District 27, and I got a map that I'll share with at some time this afternoon that shows Old District 27 because the numbers are, and see the committee can see why it was filed lawsuited. Do they have the authority to say, you know, we're going to reject South Dakota's map, you guys go in and redraw the lines as a Department of Justice, or are they just there to overview it?
They're there to say whether what you've done is right or wrong. Their denial of your map in and of itself means nothing, but as a practical matter, what's going to happen is one of two things. Either that's a green light to somebody like ACLU or the tribes to sue you, and a green light to the federal district court judge to say, I don't even have to think about this for very long. The Justice Department has already decided this, so, you know, they're wrong. Out it goes. Whatever prayer for relief is in the lawsuit is going to be enforced. Or it's you can say, well, the Justice Department says this isn't going to pass muster, so we better call ourselves back into special session again and make another attempt so that we don't get sued. That's one of those two things. But the denial of the Justice Department in and of itself has no binding legal effect unless another step is taken to follow it.
Please.
So 10 years ago, they accepted, leaving, like you said earlier in your testimony, is that Old District 27 never changed from the previous 10 years, so it didn't really need to be shipped off. But the Department of Justice, after we voted as a full legislative body, accepted that, and then we were still had a lawsuit filed against us.
Ha 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 ha.
There's our victim.
Just like the way he throws him under the bus.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, do we have a...
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. Will staff have these maps blown up so we can put them on display at our August meetings? How are we going to display these? Is there going to be PowerPoint available where we have a projector? Because I think we should have some sort of a display to make it easy for the folks in attendance to follow it.
At the meetings?
When we're at our meetings on the reservations.
We can certainly take PowerPoint to the reservation, and if they're set up to do that, we can do that. The places that we've had in the past have not been very tech-oriented. When we had the meeting at Wolf Creek School last time around, I had some fairly large maps, and we got several display boards, and we tacked them up so people could come up and look at them, but we didn't have a PowerPoint. If PowerPoint's available, we're prepared to use it. If it's not, I'm prepared to tack up, tape up as many sets as people need to get up there and eyeball them.
Anything further? Senator Cutler.
Mr. Chairman, this is a little non sequitur here, but people might be interested in what areas we're going out to and who the committee members are that are going to those areas. I wasn't here when you started the meeting. You may have announced it, but I think for public information, they may appreciate that.
I think they'll be able to find those probably in the near future on the website. And I know I had the master copy here, but I'm not sure what I did with it.
Thanks, Jerry.
So I do have a copy, and I would be happy to go through that. My co-chair and I decided that we would have three subcommittees, each with five members, which gives all 15 of us an opportunity to serve on one of the subcommittees and to at least visit a couple of the reservations. The plan would be that one subcommittee would visit Standing Rock and the Cheyenne, and that chairman would be Senator Roden, and the vice chair would be Representative Wismer. Members would be Senator Brown, Representative Lust, and Representative Rausch. The second subcommittee would visit Pine Ridge and Rosebud, and that would be Chairman Representative Gosh. Vice chair would be Senator Bradford. The following members filling that committee would be Representative Kirkby, Representative Bolin, and Representative Junkie. And then the third subcommittee would visit Lower Brule, Crow Creek, and the Yankton Reservation. That would be chaired by Representative Fargin. Vice chair would be Senator Schleckaway. On that committee would be Senators Peters, Cutler, and Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And those committee chairs, if before I forget to the committee chairs and myself, if we would have a brief meeting after we're finished here today with staff and Ruben, and just make sure we're all on the same page as to what we think we're going to anticipate needing for those visits. So with that, if they're with the maps in front of us, all but American Horse 5 and 6, that packet of maps, is there a motion that these are the ones that we distribute?
So moved.
Representative Junkie moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Roden. Any further discussion on that? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. So these will be the maps that which we will bring to our visits, and we'll prepare accordingly. So all but American Horse 5 and 6.
justice.
Okay. I just made aware that the Supreme Court justices have their own districts that they're redrawing, and they are a little bit in limbo right now, waiting for the new appointment of a new justice before they present their maps to us. So probably at our next meeting, they will come up and present what they have so that it'll be ready for us with special session with our maps. So, anything further on our reservation visits before we move on? Hearing none. At this point, I guess I will open it up for some map proposals. I think it's time that we start looking at some of the overall pictures. If there is either by committee or our visiting public, if they would have any maps or thoughts along that process that they would like to share, this would be the time in which we will do that. I see Representative Bolin is heading up. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Well, thank you, committee members, Chairman. I'm just going to show you a plan that I have developed in strictly just for the Sioux Falls conurbation area. I anticipated that the nine-member plan would be accepted. And again, this is just a proposal. It's an idea. I'm the sole author of this particular plan. So I'm just putting it out there as an idea. And it's all on big maps that I've blown up. So you are more than free to look at it as we go along here. Start with Minnehaha County, and you've got a district over here in purple. You've got a district over here, the orange, and then you have City of Sioux Falls in black, and then one rural precinct in brown over here. We'll just leave it. We'll just start with that. Nice thing about it, it keeps pretty much rural is rural. We don't have a lot of division between the city and rural areas. It's minimal. Thank you. And then I'll just show you the city map, and then I'll show you how Lincoln County ties into this as well. This is a map of the city of Sioux Falls. You can see the purple district, which I like to call District 9. Does come a little bit into the city of Sioux Falls. District 11, which is in black, it no longer is in Lincoln County or in rural Sioux Falls. It's entirely within the city of Sioux Falls. I'll go to the yellow, which is what I call the new district. It's by my terminology, District 8, basically northeastern Sioux Falls. District 10, which I call categorizes the orange, entirely in the eastern area of Minnehaha County, centered on the city of Brandon. Brandon would pretty much be the dominant political area in that particular district. District 12, in the southwestern area here. District 13, McKinnon Park. District 14, again, that's connected to Split Rock Township to the east, and then District 15 is the core area in the blue there, and then the last section is, and again this is not according to scale, but I got these maps from the Lincoln County and Minnehaha County GIS office. To make this work, we're going to take District 12 will take in four precincts in Lincoln County, and District 13 is going to take in two districts in Lincoln County. And then the final district, which I like to categorize as District 16, is everything else in Lincoln County within the conurbation district. And that is five townships. That's Grant Township, Perry Township, Delapre, Springdale, La Valley, three cities, T, Harrisburg, Lenox, and four precincts in Sioux Falls. The one over here, and then there's three on the west side. And all the numbers work. So it's just a plan. It's an idea. The thing I like about this the most is that it pretty much keeps the rural areas around Sioux Falls rural. It has minimal contact between rural areas and the city of Sioux Falls, and it does give Lincoln County one district entirely within the boundaries of the county. So it's a plan, it's an idea, and I just submit it to you. Thank you. If you have any questions about any of this stuff, please talk to me. I'll take questions. Take questions now or later.
Will there be an opportunity at some point to shrink some of these maps so that we will actually have copies?
Oh, sure.
That we can look at.
I didn't know we were going to do this. I just happened to have these in the car, and I just brought it along. So, thanks.
Just a little light reading material. I think that's the case. Whatever is proposed or presented or offered up for suggestion, if we can get copies to all of us so that we can keep perspective of where they've all come from, that would be great and helpful. Anyone else? Mr. Thompson?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, because Representative Dolan brought up the Sioux Falls area, I thought it'd be a good time to talk with you about some ideas or questions I have about what has happened so far and how that perhaps could impact what we do next. If I remember correctly, 10 years ago, there was a committee, a local committee in the Sioux Falls area, that did the redistricting for that area. And somebody told me that actually Senator Barb Everest, although she was not on the redistricting committee, chaired that committee. I don't know if that's true. But I'm very pleased with what I have seen take place so far in the process, and have attended every meeting. And I thought the conservation subcommittees went well. And my suggestion would be to continue using such committees in the Rapid City and Sioux Falls area to do the redistricting itself, or at least to bring forward to the larger committee suggestions, as we did for the conurbation district. As you know, my main agenda in participating this year is to have as much citizen input as possible throughout the process, and I think I would like to see that continued in terms of the two conurbation areas having opportunities for direct input by the citizens in terms of what we would like to see for our legislative districts. And just so I don't pop up again, maybe I can, at this moment since I'm here, raise some other questions that I have about the process in keeping with my idea of citizen input as much as possible. As things filter down, both in terms of times and the process, it seems to me we know that at some point the citizens will not be participating, and that's on the vote for the final map. But I still would like the opportunity for them to participate as much as possible. So I have some questions for you, and I assume you haven't really talked about this, but perhaps it's time to at least raise the questions. My questions would be, when we get to the special session, is there any opportunity for citizen input? I'm asking out of ignorance. I did not participate 10 years ago. And I know, and we talk about the legislative process, that every bill has this hearing, but I know that hearing can take place on the floor of the chamber, not in a committee situation. And we know that citizens do not have input on the floor, but I'm asking more for informational purposes and to encourage you to consider this idea that perhaps even during the special session, in some fashion, that the citizens could have an opportunity to express their views about the map that is being presented. And as a follow-up in looking back in the calendar then, at the point that you as a committee decide what map you are going to bring forth to the special session. Is it possible for us as citizens to have input and actually have enough time so that we can look at this map and review it and see what impact it's had? I guess that's my biggest concern, that there's a possibility this map could show up on the last day, and the decision will be made and really does not give us as citizens the opportunity to look at it and make suggestions. And I was very pleased in our subcommittee that when we talked about citizens presenting maps for consideration, that the committee agreed that it would be a good idea that whoever brings the map be identified as the person creating that map, and to also provide a rationale for how that map was drawn. And I think you understand the validity of that, just as you've asked Ruben to provide speaking points for you when you go out to the reservations, so you can explain to people and justify those decisions. And then as a final note, I congratulate you on going to the 7 and 9 of the reservations. I think this is excellent improvement over what happened 10 years ago. Thank you.
Thank you. And just in answer to part of your, the time for review, I'm anticipating that our next meeting we will have a map that we will adopt, and then it will be out there for some time before the special session. Probably, I'm assuming our next meeting will be towards the end of September, and special session is the end of October. So that would give plenty of time for review of the proposed map. And most likely we will have a brief committee meeting the morning of the special session, probably before we enter our caucus discussions and then before we go to an open special session. So I think your concerns are probably going to be realized, that we will have those opportunities. So
thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and the committee members.
Any further comments or maps or proposals? Any further remarks from the committee? Senator Bradford.
Mr. Chairman, is there any maps of the inside besides the one Representative Boland had of either Rapid City or Sioux Falls? Any idea of what that we might be in the other committees? I see where, I know we're going to go to the reservation, and actually that's a pretty big block. And I know that we're down to about 3 or 4 choices anyway. So, but what I'm thinking about is, myself, I'd have liked to seen whether Rapid City had any idea of the district that was presented there with 20-some% Native American that's all split up, and now they were going to put them maybe together. I just wondered, when are we going to see any of that stuff? I thought maybe we'd see some of this here.
Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I can speak to that. I think the charge of the conurbation subcommittees was to draw the exterior boundaries around those districts, those conurbation districts, and I think that's been met here today. That obligation has been met. I do anticipate having at least one hearing in Rapid City now on the interior line drawing that we'll have. So that will be something that we will put together and have in addition to the full committee meetings we'll be having as well. So we did not focus on that in the Rapid City hearing because I didn't believe that was our charge at that time.
Excuse me. I didn't mean we hadn't done our job. I just meant that it seems like we're really, I don't know, Senator Schleicher, and I think we're going to all of a sudden be up at the meeting, and we're still talking about a lot of maps.
Senator Cutler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Representative Lust that we didn't want the subcommittees to get bogged down in trying to argue over a specific boundary within the conurbation area. And so we generally wanted the committee to be educated about our areas, both East River and West River. But I might make a suggestion for further down the line, Mr. Chairman, that at some point we should have a deadline for all maps to be submitted so that committee members can go ask questions, hear from their constituencies, and come to some conclusions. I know we're probably not prepared to say when that is today, but I think in terms of how the process might work, it might be helpful for us to set up an outline of our schedule and what the expectation will be for maps to have a final drop dead deadline. Otherwise, we did this in the for the Sioux Falls area. We said we wanted all maps in by July 21st so that the committee would have a full week to look at anything else and ask questions that they still had. So I just would offer that as part of the process as well. But that's why we didn't come with specific boundaries, and other than Representative Boland, who's always a couple steps ahead of us on that.
Well, and I think it's a good point from Senator Bradford brings up, but I think the subcommittees will continue to do their work, and I think it only as they've looked at the population and the boundaries to take the lead on cutting those up and recommending districts within that will be now the next charge that those subcommittees will continue that work. And we'll have to get the whole committee a recommendation by the deadline of all the rest of the maps. I think that'll all come together at the same time. So personally, you could submit a map also of the makeup of the conurbation districts if you'd like to, like Representative Boland has done, outside of the subcommittee. And you can send it to the subcommittee chairs, and they'll take a look at that within that scope. So I think that's going to be happening. Senator Schleckway, did you have some response?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question would be, is it your desire as chair for the subcommittees to meet before our late September full committee meeting again? I guess that's my question. We're going to go to the reservations in August. Is it your desire that we meet sometime in September before we convene as a full committee again?
The subcommittee, I would say yes. In the conurbation subcommittees, before we meet in September, which I'm anticipating will be the meeting in which we adopt an overall plan, which means we'll probably 2 weeks prior to that date will be when all proposals have to be on our desks, so that we know what we're working with, and we'll have, as individuals on this committee, 2 weeks to look at those plans and to push them around if we want, and then come ready to, as a committee, adopt an overall. And I'm assuming the subcommittees will have that same charge. They will have to have their conurbation maps to us at the same time. So, and 2 weeks, I think, would be before. So when we decide today when we're going to have our late September meeting or early October meeting, I'm assuming, then we'll just back up 2 weeks, and that'll be the drop dead time, and I think we can work from there.
Mr. Chairman, just as a suggestion, Labor Day is Monday, the 5th of September. Would Tuesday or Wednesday after Labor Day be, that would give us more than a month for people to submit conurbation maps or statewide maps? Would that be a reasonable suggestion as to a drop-dead date for any map? I just throw that out for suggestions to any other member of the committee. Thank you.
Any further remarks on that? We can use those dates. I pull up my calendar. September, since we're on that subject, any thoughts on when we should have our next full committee meeting? Representative Fargin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I just have some questions about that. Are we looking at just one more day or two more days? Because we still have to have subcommittees for Native American areas, Rapp City and Sioux Falls, and trying to put all that together. Do you think we can get that done in one day with the large committee here?
I would ask the committee to, I think, to pencil in a two-day meeting. If we can get it done in a day, great. But I think the nature of the task at hand and the importance of it, I'd hate to rush through and then come back just before our special session and have to completely redo what we've been working so hard on. So I think we need to look at a two-day meeting, a Wednesday, Thursday, or a Monday, Tuesday, and we can start at 10 a.m. so people can drive in if they'd like in the morning. If we get done, great. If we don't, hope maybe by noon the next day, or we have the full day and we just go until we've got something on the table. That's what I anticipate. But I'm hoping for one day, but, you know, it rarely is so cut and dried that would happen. So, yep.
So are we looking at having that possibly at the end of September then? Is that your suggestion?
Well, I think that gives us the public plenty of time to then review the map that is being we've chosen to adopt. It would give them almost a month before the special session, so they would give them, I would say, arguably every opportunity to respond to it. And then, I'm anticipating the end of September, at the very latest, I would say the first week of October, which would give us plenty of time to continue to look at map, continue to get the information, continue to do those, and then which would put us somewhere in the week of September 12th, so just a week later than what Representative Boland suggested, for a drop dead on those maps. We'd get them 2 weeks before our meeting. If it doesn't show up, it wouldn't be that we couldn't consider it, but for appreciation of our time, we need some opportunity to review those. So that's what I'm... Anybody know of dates that won't work at the end of September?
Mr. Chair, I would suggest that you and your co-chairman work backwards from the special session and just set dates or at least ranges of time periods for all this to happen so that we know next week the whole time frame for the rest of the responsibility of this committee. And that would allow us then as a special conservation committee or subcommittee to start plugging in weeks or time frames where we can do what we need to do.
Okay. We can do that.
And, Senator Mr. Chair, just to piggyback on to that also, I think it'd give the committee as a whole a better perspective on what timelines we have to meet. If you had a schedule and had, you know, goals or steps that we have to cover as we go through the process.
Okay, and that would include the visits on the reservations and the when that information has to be back to the committee as a whole. Very good. We'll do that. We'll work with staff and we'll pick a day somewhere in there and we'll work backwards from there and come up with a time schedule for the rest of the process.
Mr. Chair, I have one more question, please.
Representative Fargin, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to know, especially with the Native American subcommittees, like, for example, the committee that I'm chairing, we'll be going to Lower Brule, Crow Creek, and Yankton tribes, but how that kind of mix with the Standing Rock and Cheyenne, you know, as the bigger picture, if we are going to be doing some stuff combining, I guess, how are we going to submit maps with that since we're not having a meeting in between on that September meeting? So I can't really, or we could sit down like the chair, me and Senator Rodin sit down and kind of compare notes and to map out that large map if we're going to do that one that's splitting through the state of South Dakota. It's just, you know, just so we can compare notes if the people are liking that decision or if they want to go a different route.
Well, I think we do similar to what we did today. I think the subcommittees will have a pre-meeting, if you will, and the chairman can chair and vice chairs can come in and just review what happened. I'm sure the information will be shared with the whole committee, but just to get the feedback, and so then there'll be a presentation from the chairs as to the preferences or the indications from the reservation visits. Obviously, they got to be tied into the whole big picture. So, again, those are going to be gentleman agreements at best as we go forward and start plugging in the official numbers. But I think we'll do that at that same time. We'll set something up at 9 o'clock or for an hour. We'll start at 10 with the general, and we'll run it as a subcommittee before. I think that should be able to tie everything together. Anything else? Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And with, you know, now with the conurbation areas, we're probably down to two maps on the internet. Do we, the packet that Ruben presented us, do we make that available on the internet of what we're going to take to Indian Country? I mean, there's a packet of multiple maps there. I feel they're ready for the public, but that's just mine as one committee, and maybe Ruben, FLRC, even if that's doable. I just was wondering how much do we want to let go out on the internet, and maybe Jim wants to address that.
Well, my personal feeling is anything that's public here, we try to put on the internet if we can. So if it's possible to put it there, we'll put it up there. And it's all open. If they can respond to us by letter or phone call because they can't be in person at the meetings on the reservation visits, then I would encourage them to do that. I mean, we need to hear from those people and find out what their preferences are. So as much of that information as is financially possible or I think everything should go up there, and in the end, we're not trying to hide anything. We're trying to redistrict the state, and it's a big challenge. So,
yeah, the maps were follow up.
Yes. Please.
So the maps we're going to the packet of maps that will be taken to the three subcommittees will be available at some time
in
before.
I think in the near future, if we can, the sooner we get those up, then we can. Maybe it encourages more interest and we get better turnouts at our reservation visits, or at the very least, maybe we get better response even if they can't attend the meetings. So,
I'll try to put them up today or tomorrow.
So, yeah, they'll be up soon.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further comments, questions for the good of the order? Hearing none, thank you again for attending. Citizens that made it, thank you, committee members, for a good job, especially the subcommittees, getting all that work done. I will meet with my co-chair and staff, and we will put a calendar for the remainder of this process together. And if the chairs of the subcommittees for the reservation visits could stay shortly after this meeting, that would be appreciated, and we'll go from there. With that, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
Representative Junkie, Senator Cutler, all those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.